Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. I'm Willie Schaub, a program manager with the Visual Studio ALM Rangers. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Chris Margraf, an ALM Ranger and the subject matter expert on this team. The objective of this session is to understand the importance of the network configuration to be able to plan a TFS on Azure infrastructure as a service environment and understand where to find and how to use the ALM Rangers guidance. We would like you to know the guidance, which is based on real-world proof of concepts, and to actively collaborate with the Rangers. Let us set the context of the solution referenced by this session. The team is made up of two feature teams, one focused on the trusted TFS planning and the other on the TFS on Azure guidance. The guidance is built on the shoulders of giants who have shared their real-world experience and the passion of the ALM community. We have a phenomenal product owner, Mario Rodriguez, from the product group who has guided, nudged, and mentored us. Most of the team members are part-time volunteers who commit their invaluable family time to the ALM Rangers. Guys, you all rock. The guidance is made up of the TFS planning guide, which helps you decide what infrastructure, how many team project collections, team projects, and or teams you need. It also gives you guidance on avoiding or dealing with a disaster recovery of TFS. The TFS on Azure Infrastructure as a Service guide gives you a practical overview of the cloud, Azure, and a step-by-step walkthrough of implementing your own proof of concept environment. There are numerous checklists and reference to other information to guide you. In addition, we are including the quick reference posters, cheat sheets, planning workbooks, and supplementary proof of concept guidance to guide you through special scenarios such as extending the build environment. All of the guidance is based on and validated with real-world POCs. Find the guidance on the Treasure Map under aka.ms Treasure 5. As mentioned in the foreword of the guidance, written by our product owner, the industry has seen an incredible adoption of the cloud infrastructure to power many of today's IT application workloads. For early adopters, the appeal was greater elasticity and resilience at a lower upfront cost. Today, with the maturity of cloud providers, attractive price plans, and better on-premises integration, IT teams are readying to onboard the vast majority of the application workloads. A shift of budget amounts from capital expenditures to operational expenditures as a more attractive financial expenditure strategy is further increasing this momentum. As we validated the guidance, we quickly realized that the Achilles heel of the TFS on Azure environment is the Azure network. At this point, I will hand over to Chris, who will elaborate on the architecture of our POC and take us on a fascinating network demo.
Hello, I am Chris Margraf. I am a Principal Application Delivery Manager for Microsoft Premier Services. And today, I'm going to walk you through creating a networking connection between your on-prem environment and Azure so that you can deploy TFS services. Now, there are a number of different scenarios where you might want to do this. You might deploy TFS completely in the cloud with no on-prem environment. Or you could have an on-prem environment providing Active Directory or directory services so that you can manage identity for users that are accessing your TFS environment. You may also have different resources in your on-prem environment that just needs to be available for other users. Like, for instance, integration tests may need to connect to test databases that you keep on-prem. Or you might have other services such as SharePoint running on-prem. And finally, you might just want to extend your existing TFS environment by placing build or proxy servers into the cloud. So here I've opened my Azure management portal, and this is where we're going to get started. First things first, however, there's a couple of things that you want to consider before adding networks into your Azure environment. So first thing, you're going to make sure that you need to have a compatible VPN router. You can find the specifications for this on the Azure site, and we've also linked the specifications in our build guidance. Another way that you can do this, and the way that we did it in our guidance, is we used Windows Server Routing and Remote Access Services to act as a router, and that will work just fine. Next, you need a publicly available IP address to provide a VPN presence for your router. You will also need a continuous block of private IP addresses for your Azure environment, as you'll be routing traffic to and from Azure using the public IP to accept incoming traffic and the private IP address to route requests to Azure. Okay, so we've gathered all that stuff. So in my Azure management portal here, I'm going to scroll down to networks. And this is where I'll do most of my configuration. As you see, there are three different things I need: a virtual network, local networks, and DNS servers. The DNS servers are telling my Azure resources how to route traffic back to my on-prem environment. Local networks is describing to Azure where my on-prem environment is. In other words, what is the IP address of the gateway so it can route traffic. And then the virtual network configuration is there to constrain the IP address resources that you're giving to the TFS farm in Azure. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to put in a temporary DNS server so we can get started with our setup. Okay, so I'm going to click on DNS servers and go ahead and register a DNS server. Now, in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to register a publicly available DNS server. And the reason that I'm doing this is I want to make sure that I have connectivity to the internet before I go forward with all of my configuration. So after I've got my virtual network set up, I might want to add a virtual machine and test that virtual machine to make sure it has connectivity to the internet before proceeding. And the way I do this is I put a DNS server IP address here. My favorite one is Google because it's so easy to remember. Okay, and that's it. I gave it a name and I typed in the IP address. Now later, we are going to come back and put in the IP address of your on-premises DNS server in this place. Okay, next I need to configure my local networks. When I'm configuring my local networks, what I'm doing is providing the gateway address of my on-premises router and giving it the address space that I will be routing to and from Azure. Here I've already set this up. If I was going to set up a new one, I will just click New and come to Add Local Network. I'll give it a name, another local network, and add the VPN device IP address of the router that I'm going to connect to. Now, I'm not going to put in a valid IP address here because I've already got a VPN device. I'm just going to show you how this works. So now I'm going to add an address space. Now, what this address space is, it's a space where I'm putting the IP addresses that will be routed from Azure back to my on-prem environment. So I need to understand and know what my address ranges are for my on-prem resources that people in the Azure environment are going to be connecting to. And I'll put this in this address space here. Now, this could be private IPs or it could be public IPs. Whatever you have in your data center or in your corporate network would go in this configuration space. So I'm going to put in my address space. With my starting IP. And I will set the CIDR, which has nicely already been calculated for me. And there you have it. Now, when I click Save, anybody that's using this local network will route any requests going to the IP address 192.168.1. Back to my router, which I specified on the first page. Okay, I click complete and that step is done. Okay, so the next step in my process is to add a virtual network. So I'm going to come over here to Virtual Networks, hit New, and I'm going to custom create a new virtual network. I'll give it a name. I'll choose a region. The region is very important. You want to choose a region that's going to be closest to your end users. So if you have a lot of people that are connecting directly to your TFS environment, or let's say you're running reporting services there and you have a lot of people running reporting services, you need to make a decision on where you want to deploy this region. This is fairly critical. You will, if you have a globally diverse workforce and you have groups spread around the world, it's probably best to put your region closest to your corporate network, okay? Because you know that that's going to be there, it's going to be stable. If you have a lot of people working in let's say Southeast Asia, and then just a very few people in my corporate network working on this, maybe I want to put my environment in Southeast Asia. Well, I am located in Eastern U.S., so I'm going to choose that. The next thing here is the affinity group. Now, the affinity group is telling Azure to group all of my servers in my TFS farm together closely within a data center. That doesn't mean that all the servers will be physically racked together, but it does mean that Azure will do the best that it can to keep those servers on the same hardware and as close in IP latency space as possible. And here I'm just going to give it any name that I would like. And I'll click next. All right, now I need to choose my DNS servers. Now, I already put in the Google DNS server, and that's the one I'm going to start with. What's going to happen is when I start using this virtual network to configure virtual machines, it's going to configure that DNS server for me. Next, I need to decide what type of connectivity do I want. A point-to-site VPN connectivity is where you have a single computer connecting to Azure. Now, that would make sense in some cases where you have just, you know, a handful of developers. You'll need to deploy certificates to those servers, to those workstations, and have them connect from there. What we're going to do, though, is configure a site-to-site. And what that's going to do is that's going to establish a VPN tunnel between my corporate network and the Azure network. Now you notice here we have a new setting. This is new if you've been through this before. It's called Use ExpressRoute. Now ExpressRoute requires some configuration with your ISP, and I will go into what ExpressRoute really does at the end of this presentation. Okay, next I'm going to configure my virtual address spaces, virtual network address spaces. These are the addresses that I'm assigning to virtual machines in the Azure environment. Okay, so these addresses, you're going to want to have them contiguous, and you're going to choose a CIDR that's going to give you enough IP addresses to serve your needs. You need to make sure that you check with your network administrator when you're setting this up and have him assign you a IP address range, because if you do this wrong and you overlap an IP address range that's on your network, things are going to break. Okay, so this has got to be clean and not routable on your current corporate network. So I'll choose one here. It's already filled in for me, a subnet one, it's called, with a starting IP of 10.00 and going to 10.63. Now, I must add a gateway subnet. And what the gateway subnet is that is telling the internal virtual machines where to internally route traffic that's going to hop out to your VPN router. Okay? And that gateway then can be anywhere in the range 10.64 to 71 in my case. Why is it multiple? Because you could have multiple gateways. Okay, I'm going to click complete. And here I've done everything that I need to do to configure my virtual network. And you'll see that the status is going to go through and create that for me. after my virtual network is created, I've got a little bit more configuration to do. So I'm going to hop over here to the dashboard after my network has been created. Oh, and look at that. It's saying that my gateway has not been created yet. Well, that's not an error. That's saying that I created the virtual network, but I have not created any gateways for that virtual network to talk outside of Azure. Okay. At this moment, I can go configure virtual machines on this virtual network. And since I put a public DNS in there, those virtual machines are going to be able to see the outside world. I can set up, ports and firewalls to allow the outside world to connect in. But since I don't have a gateway, I can't connect back to my home network. So now I have to create gateway. I'm going to click on that and pick between static routing and dynamic routing. Windows Server routing and remote access requires dynamic routing. Some other VPN devices will use static routing. For our demonstration, we're going to choose dynamic routing here. And I'm going to say yes, I want that to create. And it's going to start creating that gateway. Now, this will take a little bit of time.
Okay, after your gateway configuration is complete, you should see a screen that looks like this. You'll see a gateway IP address here. Okay, so that is the address that your local on-prem environment will use to talk to Azure. You also should see a mount of data in and data out. If you have a connection. In this case, I'm showing you a disconnected state because this is what it's going to look like when you first start. So you want to go to connect and let the connection happen. Now what's going to happen is this will come back and say that it's connected, but you're going to see that the local area network is still not connected to my virtual network, VN1 here. Okay, so it'll stay in this state. And what it's trying to do at this point is it has brought up its own interfaces for the gateway, and it periodically polls to see if the other end of the connection is available. So I've moved back over to my my local on-prem server where I put routing and remote access. And what we need to do here is we need to install this VPN device script. So let me show you what is in this device script. Okay, so we have a couple of functions up here. This first function is invoking a Windows API. Whenever you see that, you're probably going to need to run as administrator, and you do need to run this script as administrator. Here we see a bunch of parameter being set up in that method. And then below that, we see the set profile string method. I'm going to close that up. And then below the set profile string method, we see the install routing and remote access role. So if you have nothing on your server, and it's probably a best practice if you're experimenting to start out with nothing on your computer, let this script actually do the installation of routing and remote access. You can certainly do that by yourself if you would like. But this script will do that for you. Okay, so the next thing that it does is it's going to install the VPN type VPN S2S. S2S is site to site. Okay, and that's what we need to use to connect to our virtual network. The next line here is actually establishing the network interface. It's declaring the protocol as IKEv2. Its authentication method is private shared key only. And over here, we see that the responder also needs to have that same key because the authentication methods will be the same. The destination IP is the destination IP that you saw looking in your Azure management portal. And here we've configured the IPv4 subnet. Now, this is the IPv4 subnet that you set up for your Azure environment. What we're doing is we're telling routing and remote access gateway that anytime it sees this address range, this 10.0 address range, it's going to forward that through this tunnel over to the Azure side. The next thing we have here is the actual shared secret. This script comes from Azure, and we're going to show you where that came from. And it has this shared secret already prepared and embedded for you. This is a plain text file. So if you leave this laying around, this text file is going to expose your VPN security. It will allow you to be compromised. So you don't want to do that. So after we do that, we then set just a couple of settings here in our set private profile string, and this is telling us that we want to redial when the link has failed. And idle disconnect seconds of zero is never disconnect when the connection is idle. Okay. Then we try to restart the service remote access, and we try to connect the VPN interface with this name. The script names the VPN interface the same as the IP address, which is really handy. So to create this script, you will go back to your Azure management portal, and I will download the VPN script. When I'm downloading that, I want to choose which type of VPN router I have. In this case, I'm using Routing and Remote Access. And I click OK. That is going to give me a file name, vpndevicescript.cfg. When you get the script onto your local machine, you need to rename it PS1, as I've done here. Okay, that turns it into a PowerShell script. And then to run this, you need to run in administrator mode. So right-click on PowerShell, run as administrator. Oops, PowerShell ISE, so that we can see what we're doing. And then we'll just drag this VPN script in and execute it. Now, when I execute this, I'm going to get a lot of errors because I've already installed this. The script does seem to be fairly reentrant, so it doesn't seem to cause any problems when you rerun it. You should be aware that if this is the first time that you're running this script, somewhere around right here, after you've done the import model server manager, you've installed the remote access feature, and you've added the Windows feature routing, it seems like it tends to error out. And I think that what you might want to do at that point is just reboot your machine, reset it, and so all the rest of the script will run properly. And then after the second time you run this thing, it will configure your routing remote access. Here I've got mine configured. Oops. My network interface here. Now, I told you that the name of the network interface was the same as the IP address. There it is. And in IPv4, we have our static route. Okay? So this is what we need to configure our network interface. This is what it's going to look like after you run the script. So the first thing you need to do then is right-click on that and hit connect. Okay. When we were on our Azure management portal, we hit connect. So after your RRAS tries to connect, it will eventually make a connection over here. Now, we've seen RRAS throw an error up the first time it tries to connect, and we're not exactly sure why that happens. What I can tell you is I believe it's a best practice to not use this shared key as it's setting in this script. Well, first off, because it's in the script, right? And this is just insecure by default. So I don't want to use that shared secret. So I'm going to go regenerate another one. I'm going to go to manage key, regenerate key. And then I'm going to use this shared secret on my RRAS environment as well. Okay. So as soon as I hit that to tell it to regenerate the key, Now, the Windows Azure side is going to be using this new shared key, and I now need to go tell that to routing and remote access. So I'll go back into Manage Key, copy this. You want to go to your network interface. Right click on that and go to Properties. Go to the Security tab and paste in that key. Okay. I'll hit OK. And routing and remote access will be using the same key that we're using on our shared key. It never went anywhere but on my clipboard. So that we're a lot more secure now.
Thank you, Chris. In future recordings, we will discuss the alignment of the guidance with the real world, share some experiences and feedback from the field. Please contact the ALM Rangers if you have any questions or candid feedback on this video and the associated guidance. We thank you for joining us today and will end with a list of useful links. Ciao.